Hello, I hope you're having a wonderful day today. We are carrying on with the series on biblical womanhood and the home. My last video was on can you be a homemaker in this economy? Because often the statement that I hear is in this economy, both the husband and wife have to work. And in that video, I talked a lot about the mindset, because if you believe you have to work outside of the home, then you probably will have to work outside of the home, because you're gonna build your whole life on believing you have to work outside of the home. And so with today's video, I want to get much more practical and talk about where your money is going. But to start off, I do want to encourage you that when you become a homemaker, I feel that your mind really does start to change. And the way you think before you are a homemaker is totally different than when you become a homemaker. And I'm curious if when I describe this, if any of you have had this similar experience, because as I was writing my notes, I had the thought of the way that I think now is completely different than how I thought when I was working outside of the home. And a lot of it has to do with confidence, but when I was working outside of the home, I was not thinking about creating what I consume. I was not looking at our household thinking, could I make this? Could I source this myself? Could I find this in the most economical way? I was often thinking in ways of convenience because time was of the essence and I didn't have a lot of mental excess energy to learn skills that I was not confident in. And so as far as things like gardening and cooking goes, I thought that I just am a bad cook and I don't have a green thumb. And I thought that I didn't like gardening because when I met Scott, I was in South Africa working in a rubbish dump and we had a community garden that we were building. And that was what we worked on in the afternoons. And it was my absolute least favorite thing to do. I hated it, to where when I started our own garden, I thought it was so ironic. And Scott and I would talk about this because I thought, wow, this is so funny. The very thing that I hated 2 years ago is the thing that I am now so excited to learn how to do. But I was so excited to learn how to do it because I actually had a vision for it, a purpose for it. I wanted to grow food to preserve for our household. I wanted to grow food so that way I could know we were eating quality ingredients. I wasn't going to be using pesticides and all of this other stuff. And the only way for me to really know that is by growing it myself and being okay with failing along the way. And that's how it was with learning to cook. I put so much pressure on myself when I was working outside of the home. I remember so many times, our first 6 months of marriage, we lived in this little basement apartment. I can recall memories of me crying into Scott's shoulder because I just felt like a total failure because the food that I made was so bad. I just didn't have the capacity to learn in that season how to cook. And so I just thought I was a total failure. But when I quit my job to become a full-time homemaker, all of a sudden, I had the time to learn how to do things. I had the time to research and to study and to fail and to find what interests me and to look at our household big picture of where do we start? Where can I begin? And when you've done that for a few years, it just becomes normal. You start thinking of everything in that way of, can I make this? Do I need to buy this? Is it cost effective for me to pay for someone else to do it? Or is it more cost effective for me to make it myself? And 9 times out of 10, it is more cost effective to make it yourself and it's most likely better for you. To the point where I have forgotten that that's not how I used to think about things. I did not think of our home as an economy. Our home was a place of consumption. And I think that that's often the case when both the husband and the wife are working outside of the home ends up becoming a place of consumption. So that's what we're going to look at today, is where your money is going. So if you have never tracked your money, and this isn't necessarily a budget, because a budget goes ahead and before your money comes in, you know exactly how much you're making, this is how much is going where, but this is tracking your money. Where is the money that you're making going? So you can now break this down into categories of groceries, eating out, coffee, car payment, gas, car maintenance, car insurance, all of your bills, clothing, makeup, books, supplies, whatever other categories you have. I like to be very specific with my categories because I like to know where my money is going, especially something simple like books. For me, it's helpful to see, okay, I've spent way too much money on books last month. I need to read the books that I have. No more buying books. Or, okay, I am done thrift shopping for a while because I've been thrift shopping, and as fun as it is, we don't really need anything right now. So I'm just gonna avoid going to thrift shops to save us money. It's helpful to see where your money is going. And oftentimes, I don't think that we realize when we're both working outside of the home how much money is actually going to pay for the fact that you're working outside of the home. And what I mean by that is, are there things that you're paying for because you're working outside of the home? And we're gonna take a look at each of those categories, starting with food. So when it comes to food, again, I'm speaking from my own experience. There are some days when I was working outside of the home that I just did not have the capacity to make food. I did not feel like coming home and cooking. And often on those days, we would end up going to Whole Foods Hot Bar. And to me, that was like the lesser of evils because it at least was still healthy for us. But we would probably do that maybe once or twice a week. And then if we were to eat out, we would order pizza every once in a while. That adds up. And that's not even counting restaurants. If you're going out to eat and you have to tip a waitress or a waiter, that is very expensive. If you're ordering food out or going to fast food, that all adds up. So, how much of your money is going towards eating food that someone else has prepared for you? Even if you're just doing it a few times a month, that quickly adds up, especially if you have children and you're not just paying for you, but you're paying now for your children to eat food as well. And then we look at groceries. So, let's say you are making food at home, but are you buying groceries that are pretty much ready-made? And what I mean by that is, when I worked outside of the home, when I quit my job to come home, I was working at Trader Joe's. When I was working at Trader Joe's, I would conveniently buy my groceries there. And a lot of the food that I would buy was ready-made. So I wasn't cooking from ingredients, I wasn't cooking from scratch. I was buying the frozen pizza crust. I was buying the It's a green bag of rice and vegetables that I would buy. I would buy pasta sauce. I would buy whipped cream, the can of whipped cream. I would buy the tub of bruschetta, taco seasoning, the trail mix, the granola, bread, the desserts. I would buy crackers. Those are all things now, all of those things that I just mentioned, I now make myself. At that time, I would have said, I am cooking our meals at home, but really, I was warming up something that someone else has prepared for me, which again is always going to be more expensive than if I were to cook it from my own ingredients. And they're usually not going to be as healthy as if I were to cook it from my own ingredients. But at that time, I didn't even know how to make any of those things, except maybe whipped cream because that was easy enough. But granola, I didn't make rice. I didn't even know how to cook rice. I have a friend who's from Puerto Rico, and she taught me the rice trick that when you, after you rinse your rice, put it in your pan that you're cooking it in. I actually am cooking rice right now. Level it out and then fill it up with water. So you're touching the rice, it's level. Fill it up to water to the first crease of your finger. Turn it on high. Once it reaches a boil, turn it to low, put a lid on it, and your rice will cook, and that is the perfect amount of water that you need. That works for me every single time. And of course, you can add all of your other spices and stuff in there as well, salt. But I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to cook rice. I didn't know how to cook any of those things that I just mentioned. Whereas now, those are all the things that I know how to make. The problem is, when you're working outside of the home, at least for me, I just didn't have the interest in learning how to cook. And I didn't have the time to fail. And I feel that most women don't know how to cook from scratch. And so, if you're trying to learn how to cook from scratch, there are going to be failures along the way. And it's okay because you're using ingredients. The only way that I have been able to learn is by failing. And what I have learned is that from failing, when I get something right the first time, it makes me so excited. And the more you make from scratch, the more you kind of get an understanding for how ingredients work. But when you first start out, you're probably gonna mess up a lot. When it comes to sourdough, when it comes to fresh milled flour, a lot of the skill comes from practice of working in it. You start to learn how to get a feel for things. But if you've never done it, then you don't need to be so hard on yourself. But when you're working full time outside of the home, there's a lot more pressure on getting it right and not failing because you only have a limited amount of time. So if you mess up, it's so frustrating because it's not like, okay, well, I have some time before dinner time. I can make another plan. If you mess up, you're like, I was at work all day. This was what I intended to do, and now it didn't work out, and now we have to go out to eat. That happened to me multiple times when we first got married. We ended up going out to eat because I burnt something that I made. I often burn things. And so I say all that because they are such valuable skills. That's why I love looking at the life of Catherine Beecher. She was a woman in the late 1800s that worked really hard at getting home economics going. And the feminists love to claim Catherine Beecher as being a pioneer for women being educated. But what they don't tell you is that Catherine Beecher, her motivation for getting women educated was in home economics, learning how to cook, learning how to sew, of course, all the things that you would take if you took home economics in school. She wanted women to learn how to do these things so that way, when they got married and had children, they would know how to keep the home. She wasn't hoping they would get educated to then work outside of the home. She was hoping to educate them to prepare them for home life so they could be amazing homemakers. I just think that's so cool. And because that focus is gone today, so many women feel incompetent when it comes to doing things to creating in the home, and that includes making food. And so you do end up buying pre-made food because you can afford it because you're working. You do end up going out to eat more because you can afford it because you're working. But that's something to look at, that if you would cut out your income, you may not be able to eat out as much. You may not be able to buy pre-made food, but could you start learning how to cook from ingredients? And then on top of that, you then have the time to look for where best to buy ingredients. So that could be Azure Standard. I get a lot of my bulk ingredients from Azure. The problem with Azure is you have to have a flexible schedule because you do not know what drop day they are going to give you. So if you're working outside of the home, you may not be able to go pick up your food, so you're not going to be able to order from them. Another thing is finding local sources for things like YouPick Farms or local dairy of where you can get your milk. Those are usually going to be cheaper than most grocery stores. And if you can find good quality local places, then it's going to be even better for you than what you would find at most grocery stores, even organic stuff. I would much prefer to get stuff from a local farmer, even if it's not necessarily organic. For instance, where we get our peaches from is a small farm, and they have to spray their peaches at the beginning of the season, and then they don't spray it anymore. But I am more than happy to pay for peaches from them than I am from the organic ones at the grocery store that have no bites or anything on them. It makes you wonder, are they really organic? Because if you ask peach farmers, they say if you don't spray peaches with anything, it will devastate the crop. So I have my doubts about some organic labeling. Obviously, we do the best we can where we can, but if the option is to buy it locally, it's usually going to be way better quality, better for you, which ends up saving you money in the long run because you're not putting a lot of bad stuff in your body. Also, buying in bulk, I think that there's kind of an art to it. You can get really excited that you're going to be buying in bulk and then buy ingredients that you don't need or way too much of it. In 2020, I bought a 25-pound bag of lentils and we still have them over 4 years later because we don't eat lentils very much. But I was so excited about buying in bulk that I bought a 25-pound bag of lentils. And thankfully, I know how to store food well, so they're still fine. And slowly but surely, we're working through them for ourselves and the chickens. I sprout the lentils for our chickens and they love them. But I didn't need to buy a 25-pound bag of lentils. A 5-pound bag of lentils would have been totally fine. But because now I have evaluated what are the ingredients that we use all the time, I know what ingredients I need to buy in bulk and that we will work through them. So I'm not spending a lot of money on buying in bulk things that we don't really use that much. And if you're still trying to figure out bulk buying and you're not really sure if you're going to use something very much, always opt for the 5-pound bag. If you go through it quickly, the next time you can upgrade to the 25-pound bag or 50-pound bag. But to start off, I would always start with the smaller amount because then you can see if you like that brand's quality and if that's something that you'll actually use. And because now I am an ingredients household, I have ingredients for everything that you can possibly imagine. That now, I don't know how many times I have thought, oh, I do not have this. And the thought came to my mind of, I wonder if I could make this from scratch. And then I end up having all the ingredients I need to make it from scratch. This just happened the other day. I shared in a different video how a recipe that I was making needed Worcestershire sauce. And I had tried to order from Azure, but they were out. And so I realized that this is a key ingredient in this recipe. I cannot go without it. And so the thought occurred to me, I wonder if I could make this. And I had never thought about that before. So I typed in how to make Worcestershire sauce from scratch, and a recipe came up, and I had everything that I needed for it. It needed vinegar. I buy my apple cider vinegar in bulk from Azure. It needed brown sugar. I buy my sugar and molasses from Azure and put that together, and you have brown sugar. I buy my coconut aminos from Azure. So I have a half gallon jar of it in my refrigerator. And then you needed mustard, and I have mustard seeds, and you can easily grind those up with a mortar and pestle. And I just added mustard seed powder instead of mustard. Those are all things that I had on hand because I focus on buying ingredients so that way I can make a wide variety of things when I need it. And so there is an art and a science to managing your home economy. And when you're working outside of the home, it is so hard to do it all. It is so hard to give your best energy to your work life and then to also give your best energy to managing your home economy. Can it be done by God's grace? Yes, but from my own experience, I've become way more efficient at being a homemaker when it is my primary focus, when I have learned the skills of running a home. I just think it would be even harder to be working outside of the home, have children that you want to nurture and tend to and play with. If you're working outside of the home, I can only imagine how much when you come home, you don't want to be doing things away from your children. You want to be doing things with your children because you've been away from them all day. That's so hard. So that actually leads me to my next one of childcare. I feel that this is probably an obvious one, but I know that there are so many women who literally work outside of the home to have their paycheck go to childcare. So how much of your paycheck is going towards nannies, babysitters, camps, after-school programs, daycare, private schools? How much of your income is going to that? Transportation. How much of your income is going towards your car, a car payment, gas to get to your job, car maintenance, car insurance? This is probably an uncool thing to talk about. There have been times in Scott and I's marriage where we've only had one vehicle, and obviously, having multiple vehicles is a luxury. It is a huge blessing. But if you're trying to figure out how to be able to come home, that is something to consider. How much money is going towards having multiple cars? And I will say, every time that we've been in a season where we've only had one vehicle, there has been grace. And when the grace in that season has been feeling like it's running out, like, you know what, this is becoming a lot harder, every time God has provided for us a vehicle. So God is faithful even in those things. Another category to consider, and this obviously won't apply to everyone, but I know it does apply to some, is how much of your income is going towards paying for the proper appearance for you at your job. At Home with Dorothy once commented on one of my videos, and she said when she was a banker, she would have to pay so much money on getting her hair done, getting her nails done, dressing nice to work at her job. There was an expectation for her to be paying for those things. So she's paying for those things out of her banker's paycheck. So how much of your money is going towards paying for you to look the role of the job that you're at? Another area to look at, how much of your money is going towards therapy shopping? because you're having a hard time at work and you want to escape, so you go and buy things. When I was working at Trader Joe's on my lunch break, we were across from a TJ Maxx and a Michael's, and I would go there on my lunch break, and I don't know how many art supplies that I bought from Michael's with the best intention of creating things, but never actually creating things, because when I got home, I was exhausted and didn't have any interest in creating things. I mean, we have moved, I think we've moved 9 or 10 times since that season, and we have moved every time with those blank canvases because I still think I'm gonna use them someday, and I bought them in that season of working at Trader Joe's thinking, oh, I will create with this, but really I was just buying things to self-soothe, to just go and spend money. And that was the same for TJ Maxx. I don't know how many things I just bought because it was fun to look forward to going and buying things. And that was before even Amazon Prime was a huge thing. I can only imagine now that it's, you don't even have to go anywhere. You can literally just sit at your table or in your car on your lunch break and you could scroll Instagram. I mean, people post Amazon stuff on Instagram like crazy. Type link if you want this thing from Amazon. I'm like, I don't want anything from Amazon. And something that I've realized is because I haven't bought from Amazon since 2021, I think I've forgotten that Amazon can actually be a real problem. Having Amazon suggest things to you, do they suggest things to you? I imagine that they probably do. Not only suggest things to you, but that there's a constant option to buy things at a great price. And you think that you need things that you really don't need. It's just right in front of you. Things that you didn't even know existed probably pop up on your page and you think, wait a second, I didn't know this existed. I need this. Whereas someone like me who doesn't have Amazon, I don't have that search engine. I don't have things popping up in my face telling me I need them. The only things that I buy online are when I have a need for something and I look it up. So the other day when I was making those toothpaste tablets, I looked up those ingredients from stores that I'm values aligned with and bought from those places. I can imagine if I had Amazon and I typed those things on Amazon, all of a sudden all these other things would show up and tell me I need to buy all of these things. Whereas the places that I shop, like iHerb, I'm not scrolling iHerb. And so how much of your money is going towards things that you didn't really need to begin with? Out of convenience though, or out of self-soothing or numbing, you just happen to be scrolling Amazon and you end up with all these things at your door. And on top of that, I can imagine once you get used to the expectation of things coming in the mail, you just expect things to come in the mail. It's like this dopamine hit or release of, I need to keep buying stuff, so I keep getting stuff in the mail. It's exciting. Whereas if you don't have Amazon as an option, then you're not gonna struggle with that. I do not struggle with expecting things to come in the mail all the time. And I also don't struggle with online shopping. I don't have an addiction with it. I have a conviction to not buy from Amazon. And so it's not even an option for me, which I think saves us so much money because I don't own a bunch of things that I just happened to buy because I wasn't feeling great or I wasn't enjoying my work. So you have therapy shopping. Another thing is entertainment. Something that I noticed when Scott and I were working outside of the home, we were constantly wanting to do things outside of the home as entertainment. Since I switched to becoming a homemaker, we both learned to love being at home. We no longer felt the need to go out and seek entertainment outside of the home. And I don't think that's a bad thing. There are definitely things that we do, like going to South Africa, or last year for my birthday, we went to a yak farm and then we spent the night in this treehouse cabin. So there's definitely things that we look forward to, but it's not a weekly thing of, okay, how do we get out of the home tonight? What is something we can do for fun so we don't have to be at home? And so we're not spending money on entertainment things, but we find our entertainment at home through our chickens, turning compost, building things around our property, working on things around our house, reading books, watching YouTube videos, going for walks. Those are our sources of entertainment, free entertainment. And so how much of your money is going towards entertainment, and can you cut any of those things out and find free entertainment? Another thing that's a bit more, I feel heavier to talk about is the problem with when a husband and wife both have separate careers working outside of the home, there ends up being a division in the marriage. A division. Die meaning two. There are two visions. The wife has a vision for her life, the husband has a vision for his life, and they are pretty much living separate lives and then coming home and sleeping under one roof. Those marriages I've seen have a much harder time than marriages where the husband and wife are on the same page, the same mission. So when a wife is having a separate career, focus, purpose, mission from her husband, there are costs to that. Another thing is, when I quit my job to come home, Scott felt the responsibility more than ever to provide. And men are able to carry the weight of that responsibility in a very healthy way. God designed men to be providers. He designed them to carry that weight. And we can pray scripture over our husband. There's so many scriptures we can pray over our husband. We can pray that God would expand his territory, the prayer of Jabez. We can pray that our husband is blessed when he goes out and he's blessed when he comes back home. We can pray that, like Jesus, that our husband will walk in favor with God and with man. We can pray that our husband's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. We can pray that our husband will be honored in the gates, just like the Proverbs 31 woman's husband. These are things we can be praying for a husband, and we can put our faith and trust in God, that God sees us in secret, he will reward us openly. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him." So do we believe that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him? I have seen that in our own life, that when we follow God's ways, he blesses us, even when it doesn't make any sense in the natural realm. He will bless us. I can share testimony after testimony of God providing us a place to live. Sometimes Scott and I will say to each other, you know what? We've never been homeless, because we have so many testimonies of how God has always provided a roof over our head. And I think I'll probably do a video sharing all of those testimonies specifically on that, because it's encouraging. It builds your faith. We live in a first world country where it's so much easier to provide for ourselves, that we do not have to live dependent on God. Why would we have to live dependent on God when we can depend on ourselves? But when we see in scripture that without faith, it is impossible to please God, when we put our faith in him, he is so good at showing up for us. This is also the blessing of writing down small things and big things. I love writing down the ways that God provides for us. And I think there is something in the process of writing things down ends up cementing it into my brain. Even if I never go back and look at that journal, I still have things in my memory because I wrote them down. God did this for me. The one that comes to mind right now is when we lived in Indiana. It was our first winter there, and we were on our way to an auction, and I was reading a book about being outside a lot. And so I told Scott, I really want to focus on being outside more this winter. And what stops us from being outside is proper clothing. So I want to find warmer clothing for us. And at this auction, it was an estate sale type of auction, and they had really nice things, and they had all of these Carhartt bib overalls that were basically brand new. They had men's sizes and women's sizes. So we ended up getting these nearly brand new Carhartt bib overalls for next to nothing. And we were so amazed. Like, we were just talking about this, and then God provided this for us. And I ended up writing that down in my journal, and I'll never forget it. So God cares about the details, even down to the very smallest things. Just like what Jesus says in Matthew, starting at verse 25. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. The Lord always provides for us. It's so amazing. And so he is worth taking him at his word. The fact that Titus 2 says, keeper of the home, I think it must be pretty important for that to be included in scripture. Paul could have left that out. If it wasn't important, he probably would have left it out. But it is included, and God's word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. I can say from my own experience, God has blessed us in ways beyond we could ever imagine when we have taken him at his word. In Ephesians 3, verse 20 through 21, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So if you want to be full-time at home, I hope this video has encouraged you with the ways of tracking your money and see where your money is going, see what areas you can cut back on, see how if you did cut out your income, how much money would you end up saving by not working? And once you see where it's going, then start thinking, how could I make my husband's income do the work of two? How could I make $1 do the work of two? How could I make things from scratch? How could I save us money? How could I create what I consume? What are areas that we can cut out of our spending? I didn't even mention location. I am going to mention that because I think a lot of people do say, and actually just today I got a comment saying, well, where we live is too expensive and you have to work. Again, if where you are living you cannot afford, that is something to bring to the Lord in prayer. And I would encourage you to make a list of five things and ask God, do you want us in this place? Because if you want us to be here, then you're going to provide for us to be here. So make a list of five things. That's option one, staying where you are and trusting that God will provide for you. Then think of four other options. Make a list of five things and start praying about them and seek the Lord about them. I did this when I was single, and that's how I ended up in South Africa, was because I made a list of five things, one being staying where I was. And then I had five other things. One of those was going to South Africa. I ended up having a dream about going to South Africa, and I met my husband there. And we've done this multiple times in our marriage as well, when we felt like we were at a crossroads and we weren't really sure if we were supposed to stay where we were or if we were supposed to leave. And God spoke to us every time. A man makes a plan in his heart, the Lord establishes his steps. Last time we did this was when we moved. We were trying to figure out what we were doing and if God wanted us to stay where we were, so that was an option. And then we could only come up with three other things. We couldn't come up with a fifth option, so we decided that, Lord, we can't think of five things, we can only think of four things, and so we're going to leave the fifth option up to you. A few weeks later, Scott gets a phone call saying there is his dream job position available, and they end up offering him this job, and we end up moving. And God provided miraculously for us to be able to, one, move quickly, find a house. It was amazing. A man makes a plan in his heart, the Lord directs his steps. We brought that to the Lord in prayer. So it's almost like we were setting ourselves up to be open for God to bring something to us because we made that five list thing. So when Scott got that phone call, we were so confident that this was God directing our steps. So if you're not sure if you're supposed to stay where you are or if you're supposed to move, you can seek the Lord about that. And if you do feel like you're supposed to stay where you are, you feel like God is directing your steps to stay where you are, then you can take God at his word that he will provide for you where you are. Sometimes I think just the act of bringing those things to the Lord opens ourselves up to when God brings that thing to us, we realize, wait, we prayed about this and now God has opened a door for us. Our prayers are powerful and effective, and we can bring the biggest things and the smallest things to the Lord and see how he speaks to us. So my hope is that this encourages you. If you have any questions around this topic that you want me to talk more about, I can. Really, with all of my videos, I just want to encourage you in your faith that God is good and he is worth putting all of our trust in. So I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. If you like today's episode, please consider leaving a rating and review. It is very helpful, and I hope that you enjoy your day. God bless you.